This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is 28-year veteran of the market, government market, Scott Friedlander. Scott's done serious time with an OEM, with a startup, and with a major solutions provider, all unnamed at this point. Scott, welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you, Mark. Appreciate you for having me.
Always good to have a chat with you, and especially anybody with your bandwidth in the market. We're not going to get into your background because there's a lot of things to talk about today, not the least of which is this has been one of the weirdest years I've ever seen in the government market. So give me your take on the overall market conditions at this point, including all of the continuing resolution stuff.
Well, I was going to say, you know, we've seen continuing resolution before. But I think there's no question about the when you look at the budget pressures and the constraints on IT spending, government mandates that are coming out to embrace things like cloud models, decreasing useful life of technology. There's just a lot going on. Vivek initiatives around the 25, 26 priorities. So there's just a lot going on in this market today. And the technology is moving at, it's always moved at an incredible pace, but I think the speed today is at an entirely new level.
Okay. You mentioned Mr. Kunder there briefly. He had his 25-point plan, and now he's announced that he's vacating the premises. What can we expect from someone new? I mean, does this mean there's going to be 23 points, 28 points? I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what do you think?
I think the things he did were extraordinary in terms of the cloud computing and innovations and initiatives he took on, data.gov, the IT dashboard, challenge.gov, the Office of Management Budget, just initiatives in total to really reduce, I think the cost savings was close to $3 billion, redundancy in data centers and elimination of data centers with consolidation efforts. So a lot of good things, I believe. Obviously, you know, the jury will be out long term in terms of what gets done. But I think those initiatives will continue with the new leadership.
Okay. Now, every time we have a change of administration or a change of executives, we always have new initiatives, new changes. How do companies selling to the government respond to these? I mean, how do you stay profitable? How do you stay at the edge? How do you stay near the edge? And what is your competitive edge during these processes?
Well, you know, I think it's a question of where you sit in the food chain. And what I mean by that is, are you in a reseller provider space where you have contract capability and you can have good supply chain expertise? That's one level. There's a solution provisioning capability where you actually can deliver at a professional services layer and do an implementation of COTS, commercial off-the-shelf technologies with the major OEMs, original equipment manufacturers. I'm doing that for the audience. Sometimes we use a lot of acronyms right in our industry, that's for sure, and independent software groups. But and then the next level, obviously, the systems integrator. And a lot of that is starting to close in terms of COTS implementations around specific technology areas, data center consolidation, federal health IT, cloud computing, information security, energy green IT, IT infrastructure, things like geospatial technologies, and the list goes on and on. And then there's a drill down inside of that. So I do believe companies have to be capable of expertise in that, in their niche.
Okay. So how do you define, are when we're talking about expertise in the niche, if your niche is sort of very mature and possibly to the point of diminishing returns, how do you migrate to a new area? Is there a natural migration path there?
So I'll give you an example. I've been talking to some senior executives within the systems integration community, and they are absolutely looking for ways to bring in infrastructure technologies, data center effort, and do it in a more virtual way, in a lower operating cost way, so they can provide improved capability, improved service to the government customer at reduced cost, if you will, to net it out.
Okay.
And I think that's the demand of the market now in many ways. Back to the earlier comments about federal IT spend and budgets, and the need to continue to mandate and embrace services and cloud models and things like that.
Okay. Now, you implied something there that is a touchstone for me whenever I hear it. You were talking to industry executives. You have relationships with a variety of executives, both inside and outside the government, in the channel, in the integration community, with manufacturers, with senior people and procurement people inside government. How important are these when you are prognosticating for your clients or your future company on that definition of where you need to be?
Very important. I mean, like all markets, as big as this market is, it's $78 billion. You know, it's still a small set of players, if you will. I mean, lots of companies, but everyone in our environment kind of knows each other. Everybody has certain expertise. So I think when you pursue programs or projects and you're teaming with people, you have to know their expertise, and you have to figure out who's going to provide what capability, what services capability, in order to build a winning team to win that opportunity. So it's very important that you know who plays in what space, and specifically things like geospatial, the things I mentioned previous, data center consolidation, federal health IT. You know, not everybody does everything. Some people may claim it, but I think everyone is good at something. No one's good at everything.
Right. And, you know, when you say some people claim it, you know, if you are General Dynamics IT or Northrop Grumman or SAIC, you can claim expertise in a lot of areas because you have literally thousands of warm, intelligent bodies filling a lot of gaps. But when you're short on very, very specific niche expertise within those, you partner with the right people.
Absolutely. And you see, even the major tier one, the top five, top 10 SIs still partner most of the time with somebody, either small business opportunities, niche technology expertise, or other large SIs.
Okay. So, FYI, the Wash Tech Top 100, you know, fresh off the press, man. The list is largely the same. You know, and the top 20 are very, very, you know, familiar names for us. Did you happen to take a look at that yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but like you said, it doesn't change all that much year over year, but you do see some new players move up and some others that don't have as good of a year, so you see some changes.
Yeah, mine are usually a few positions up or down, and some of those are predicated on merger and acquisition. Some, as you mentioned, you know, maybe the waning of a contract or the loss of a contract.
Absolutely, that's right.
So, all right, Scott, we're going to take our first break. My guest today is 28-year government market veteran Scott Friedlander. When we come back, we are going to be discussing the changing government market channel. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This July 4th, you'll be watching fireworks amid sparkling arrays of red, white, and, well, did you ever notice the blues just aren't as good? Bursts of blue fireworks just don't have the same brightness or intensity of other colors, says Washington College chemistry professor John Conkling.
In order to get a bright color up in the sky, you need high temperature. And the chemicals that emit blue light are not stable at high temperatures.
Chemists have been trying to engineer a solution for years, but Conkling says so far, no luck.
Countries do have red, white, and green as their national colors. They're very fortunate. We chose red, white, and blue, so it's harder here in the U.S. to get our national colors up there in the sky on the 4th of July.
To find out more about this and other engineering innovation stories, please go to www.nae.edu/radio. That's www.nae.edu/radio. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Environmental Protection Agency wants private developers to use its data to create as many new applications as they can. The agency's leaving the rules for its Apps for the Environment challenge wide open to encourage as many entries as possible. EPA says it wants to see useful, innovative ways to use, show, or combine publicly available EPA data in an app to address health or environmental problems. The challenge runs from now through mid-September.
General Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, information technology, and professional services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
What if I told you that you could learn a new language the same way you learned your first language? With no tedious translation, no useless memorization, and no boring drills. You would have every right to be skeptical, especially if you struggled with languages in the past. That's why we want to send you a free demo CD-ROM from Rosetta Stone. You'll find out what U.S. diplomats, more than 10,000 schools, and NASA already know, that this is the world's fastest, easiest way to learn a new language, guaranteed. Call now to request your free CD-ROM and try it with our compliments. Learn a language faster than you ever imagined. Call 1-800-600-6612, and we'll rush you the free Rosetta Stone CD-ROM today. Remember, there's no tedious translation, memorization, or drills, and the Rosetta Stone program offers more than 30 different languages. Call for your free Rosetta Stone demo CD-ROM today and see how easy and effective it really is. Call 1-800-600-6612. That's 1-800-600-6612.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is 28-year market veteran Scott Friedlander. Scott, you've played roles in manufacturers, in small companies, in the reseller and service provider community. That channel is changing. And it's got to adapt. So give me your top your major overview. And if I hear something that's cool, I'm going to ask you to take a deep dive.
Well, I think to keep it pretty simple, it's all about bringing value in the channel and differentiation with expertise. So value, differentiation, and expertise, if I could net it out. And what I mean by that is the OEMs, obviously, and the ISVs make the IP, the intellectual property. The channel needs to find ways to provide additional capability, albeit services capability or some level of expertise to provide to both the customer and to provide back to the OEM or ISV. So it's very critical that they have deep technical capability, deep customer capability, understand the customer's mission and the customer's vision, and being able to really blend those two pieces together.
Okay, so let's take a closer look again at the let's start with the differentiation one. That was your second. But on the differentiation side, for let's say for major resellers, we have several major resellers, people who are companies that sell a lot of different stuff to the government: CDW, GTSI, PC Mall, PC Connection / Gov Connection, and on down the line. Just a lot of companies. How can these companies differentiate themselves, both to the buying public and to the manufacturers they want to represent?
All good companies, and what you see happening in every one of these companies is moving up market. So what may have been a traditional demand creation, lead generation, calling campaign type environments or webcast environments are now much, you find people are much more technical. They have a lot of engineering talent in the companies. They have architecture and design ability. They really know the technologies they're speaking to at a depth level. And that bodes well for the manufacturer because they want stronger reach in the market. They can't get to a $78 billion. I don't care who they are. It's very hard to get across all markets, civilian, DOD, intelligence community, certainly state and local as well in cases. So that's hard. So it allows them to reach with sales professionals, BD professionals, capture and proposal professionals, as well as engineers. And that's really critical that these VARs and resellers have that expertise and that depth.
Okay, let me throw a scenario out at you, and this is a real-life experience from a client that I had. In the early mid-90s, we got a company the second GSA schedule for IT training, and after we got them the schedule, we ramped them up to about $20 million on that schedule within 2 years. And you probably heard me tell this story before.
Yep.
So I left. 2 years later, they called back and they said, you know, we're at $20 million. We think something's wrong. Can you come in and look at us? And I came in and looked. And what was happening was they did not let the account reps own accounts. So they were customer service reps, not account reps. So every call that came in was routed to the next available operator. No,
you know, I use the analogy, it's similar to a sports team. And in any sports team, you usually have really excellent offensive players, excellent defensive players, and in the case of football, a special team. And that's exactly the logic of business models in terms of there are people that really understand strategic relationships. They understand the customer requirements. There's also people that are focused on delivery and in professional services or implementation, integration, things like that. They're different skill sets, and you need to make sure you balance those skill sets in customer environments. And certainly in the federal market where the account base is so enormous and the scale of the enterprise is so wide that you really need to have multiple skills out there doing different tasks.
Okay. give me an example of what it's going to take to define what skills.
Well, for instance, to your point, you have a $20 million annuity stream with a program, and the company is responsible for delivering 5-9 level of service and superior quality in terms of the project. Well, when they're doing that, they're not really, in most cases, able to start understanding additional requirements of the customer because they're so fixated on the former. The logic is you need to have people in there that are business development expertise and sales professionals that understand that strategic environment to be able to look at new opportunities. So when the sunset of the 20 million happens, which will eventually happen, there's new opportunities for the company, which is critical. That keeps the annuity base of the company going.
Bingo. And that was exactly the issue with that company. They really had no concept on how to prognosticate the needs of the agencies they were selling to as to further IT training needs. So they could not figure out, you know, where to devote any resources, marketing, sales, or business development.
And to your point, all those skills in a company are critical. The key is, does leadership have them moving in the same direction? Are there congruent goals tied back to the customer with a customer first mentality? And, you know, if you have that, I think good things happen for the company, good things happen for the partners within the company, and certainly for the customers and employees.
Cool. All right. Now, the flip side of the channel equation here, I advise a variety of companies, and you probably have too, and you've dealt with a lot of these companies, manufacturers coming into the market for the first time, or manufacturers who are here with minor or not so minor market share, but that want to grow market share. What are the issues for manufacturers coming into the market, and why should they look very carefully at the channel?
Well, as we know, for people that have been in the federal government space for a very long time, there's a natural barrier to entry in the sense of, you know, you have FAR requirements, you have different contract vehicles, you have GWACs and BPAs and IDIQs, and you have to know, as I call it, the sport. You have to understand the environment and all the elements that go inside the environment. If a manufacturer has a great new widget, a great new technology, a great new software capability, just having that is not good enough. You better prepare a very in-depth strategic plan as it relates to the federal market, as well as a go-to-market strategy, as well as the structure to include the channel. Because you have people that have done this for many years, they have the relationships, they have the expertise, and they can scale much quicker than someone coming in new.
Okay, so let's say an offshore manufacturer, but still trade compliant.
Yep.
Broad range of product product here, but multiple categories. You know, communications, IT. Facilities management, facility security. Now, should they consider selling direct at all?
Well, if they can build what I would call a federal BD sales force with capture capability and the right type of proposal capability and contract capability, and if they're certain they can do that, that's one way. The other way, or the additional way, is to properly partner with a VAR, a reseller, a solutions provider, or a systems integrator, or a few of each into the market. I don't think there's any perfect answer, but I do think that the strategy is critical.
Right, but
obviously the execution of the strategy.
Right. What? Give me components of the vetting process for the manufacturer, because every company out there, if you're the right manufacturer, even if you're a peripheral manufacturer, there's going to be lots of companies saying we can do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, first of all, does the company you're going to identify in the channel, do they have the expertise to take your technology to market? So that's important. You know, if they've been selling hardware and this is a solution or services offering, that may be too much of a stretch, and vice versa. If they're a services-only company and you want to bring the opposite to them, that may be too radical. So I think, first of all, line up companies that could provide that reach into the market, that expertise, and make sure you vet those. And there's probably X amount of them out there. Vet them, meet with them, understand their plan, and that's one way to go. The other way is to build it yourself. As we all know, building it yourself will take a while.
Define a while.
to build a sales BD force, a capture force. Are we talking from zero?
Yeah.
So to build a capture force, to get a proper contract or contracts, and to make sure that the legal elements are proper, the contract elements, the terms and conditions are right, getting the right leadership in place. I mean, I think you're talking a year to 3 years, a year to get some traction, 3 years to be into execution mode.
Okay, cool. My guest today is Scott Friedlander. Scott is a 28-year government market veteran. When we come back, we're going to continue talking about the channel, how manufacturers should use the channels, and other things relating to this extraordinary FY. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
It's the Geico Gecko with a little hello to all you federal employees. Now, in government, there are people on all points of the political spectrum, but there is one thing that everyone agrees on. Saving money is good, which brings me to the big news. GEICO offers discounts to most federal employees GS7 or above. It don't matter if you're a Democrat or an aristocrat, left wing, right wing, or a chicken wing. If you're a federal employee GS7 or above, you could be saving a lot of money on your car insurance by switching to GEICO. So no matter if you're blue or red, or in my case, green, if you're a federal employee, GS7 or above, contact GEICO and see how much you could save. Isn't that right, Mike?
Exactly right, my little green friend. Hey, folks, this is Mike Causey. And like the Gecko said, discounts are available for most federal employees, GS7, the equivalent, or above. Just call GEICO at 1-800-947-AUTO, go to geico.com, or visit your local GEICO office to see how much you could save.
This is NIH Health Matters. I'm Joe Belinfi. Training programs, for example, a useful field of vision test, may help older drivers drive for longer.
It may enable them to have fewer motor vehicle collisions, at least at-fault ones, than drivers who haven't had the testing.
Dr. Jonathan King at NIH suggests that despite the fact that there is a growing concern given the increasing number of older drivers as baby boomers turn 65,
I think we're fairly lucky. The cars themselves have been getting much safer. The accident rates have not been skyrocketing. We do have some interventions under testing that may be fruitful.
Details for older drivers are online at www.nia.nih.gov. Health Matters is produced by the National Institutes of Health, part of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit. Presented by NITP has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government, brought to you in part by Purchasing Power, Grantham University, and MetLife. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m.
Profile America, Monday, June 27th. Today marks the birthday in 1880 of one of the most remarkable American women, Helen Keller. Less than 2 years old, she was struck with a major illness that left her deaf and blind. When she was seven, her family hired Ann Sullivan to try to teach her. The story of how Sullivan reached through Keller's isolation and taught her to read and write sparked the book, stage play, and movie, The Miracle Worker. Keller went on to graduate from college, read 5 languages, and travel the world speaking for progressive causes. In the U.S., nearly 1 in 5 people have some sort of disability. Among those 15 and older, nearly 2 million are unable to see printed words, and 1 million cannot hear conversations. You can find these and more facts about America from the U.S. Census Bureau online at census.gov.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is 28-year government market veteran Scott Friedlander. Scott, Let's take the manufacturing side from a slightly different angle. What are the hot technologies coming out? And then how do you determine as a manufacturer, if you have a hot technology, then how do you figure out which partners are best for you?
Well, you know, as we've seen, you've seen a lot on cloud. So I don't think you can move inside the market without hearing something about cloud, virtualization, energy efficient hardware, things like that. So we're seeing that whole energy, green IT, and cloud initiative virtualization taking place in a significant way, and it's coming in from all your traditional OEMs. It's coming in from your ISVs. And everyone is really trying to define that expertise and that capability. I mean, the fact is memory and storage are getting cheaper and cheaper. The larger databases are now at petabyte level, are able to literally in milliseconds move through in this cloud storage environment. So the capabilities are just getting stronger and stronger. And people are, the consolidation of data centers is real. So that's going on because of the technology, because of things like virtualization. And you're seeing geospatial technologies with web-based data and search capabilities happening. I mean, look, we're using it in our real life all the time, as we know. I mean, from going to a local restaurant or getting directions to a meeting, I mean, you see how quick you hit the search engine to do that these days, or your GPS technologies. I think the same holds true with citizen-facing portals that are going on, both at the federal level and at the state and local level, Web 2.0 with social networking. So the world is just embracing technology more and more, and the manufacturers have to be able to continue to move their technologies up market.
Okay, so let's say you're on the edge or near the edge of mobile, and you have sufficient R&D funds to know that you can stay at or near the edge for the foreseeable future, whatever foreseeable future means today, because
yep.
you know it's changing fast. But okay, so you're mobile. You have hot technology. How do you pick partners? How do you define who's going to be best for you in the government market?
Well, I'm glad you brought up mobility, because you know if you think about the things that are moving, it's cloud, it's cybersecurity, and mobility are three of the majors, right? Obviously, cybersecurity is very critical.
Huge.
But mobility is absolutely there, because at a tablet level, at a PDA level, it's getting this data to you, getting the right data at the right time, and pulling that from the right sources, correct? So I think what you're seeing is to be able to get the offering to the market, and then who can scale it to educate customers. You know, that's one thing we haven't talked about. How do you educate customers out there that this technology, A, is very good, but most importantly, the future versions of the technology are real because it has backing? And that's a great point. We've seen during the dot-com of a decade ago, companies come and go. The government would not appreciate anything like that ever occurring again.
No. Yeah, that's sort of the kiss of death.
But... yeah, and to your very point, it's critical that the technologies have a roadmap, a solutions roadmap, an architectural roadmap of future versions that we do see, of course, with the likes of Apple and Google and Microsoft and companies like that, Oracle, obviously.
And even Amazon's.
And Amazon, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I was absolutely shocked that they evolved into a major player on the cloud side of the government market.
Yeah, so. And if you notice, all those leaders that I'm very close with have strong leadership in each and every one that really know the federal government customer. They know how to develop a go-to-market strategy, the proper approach in terms of building the infrastructure necessary, to your point exactly.
Okay. Now, let's say a manufacturer has successfully negotiated the scenario here, and they've picked a couple of partners. What kind of support is expected in that relationship from the manufacturer, and how should a channel partner, a reseller, or an integrator leverage that?
Well, you know, it's interesting to use the word partner, right? We've heard the partner word a lot. And I think the partner development, first of all, it takes time, and it takes lots of good communication, a lot of collaboration, a lot of honesty and candor constantly, and just working together for the common good of customer and delivery. But it's really developing the plan together, agreeing to what you're going to do, who's going to train who, who's going to develop the certifications necessary to make sure that you're a true expert if you're a channel partner. If you're a solutions provider, that you really have deep, deep expertise with the manufacturer, OEM, ISV, and how do you get to the market? And is it going to be led by a big sales force with the OEM or ISV, or is it going to be led with lead generation and demand creation activities with webcasts and calling campaigns or an outside sales or BD force as well? And I think that's just the go-to-market strategy between the manufacturer and the reseller solutions provider.
Okay, how big a role does the subject matter expert / thought leader come into play for these niche technologies?
Oh, I think critical in today's market. People are looking for white paper expertise, case studies, past performances. All the time. Where have you done it before? Where has it scaled? Has it been effective? Who's your references? And who's your expertise? And when the expert, regardless of if it's the manufacturer or the channel, when the expert can talk through all those elements, here's where we've done the delivery before, here's the references, here's the white papers, here's the case studies, I think you have a compelling case with the collaboration of manufacturer and the channel or VAR or systems integrator.
Okay, you brought up a concept earlier that I'd like to explore a little bit too, and that is the concept of education. The education has to occur on both sides. The channel player has to educate the manufacturer as to how the process works, how the sales process, the contracting process works, and where that manufacturer fits. The manufacturer has to educate the channel partner on all aspects of its products, where they're going, et cetera. And both of them should collaborate on the education of the prospect/customer side. You've been involved in this before. How difficult is that process to really get it to work?
Well, you know, it's just like anything. It's difficult if there's not a plan, if there's not tight communication, tight collaboration. But if the plan's developed, these are the trainings we want to take to the market. Here's the expertise that we must have before we go to the market. Here's the customer set that we care about talking to and why. I mean, if you have a healthcare solution, it would make sense, in my opinion, to go to the VA, to go to NIH, to go to medical services for DOD. You know, there's certain areas that you want to get to if you have a medical solution. There's another set of solutions if you have a data center solution. There's 1,100 data centers. How many do you go to, right? So the question is, but it's the key is developing the expertise together, developing the go-to-market strategy together, and driving from there.
Okay. Now, you and I share a number of friends. One in particular has been extraordinary at this, Craig Abbott at Carahsoft. Give me a couple of your takeaways from the Carahsoft model.
So I think Craig would say that the Carahsoft model is a VAR model that's always moving up market in terms of value, which is critical, very deep, deep expertise with a core set of partners, and both at the technical level and at the BD selling side level. And they really are passionate about educating customers on this expertise and working very, very closely with the OEMs. and they do a terrific job. Obviously, he's grown that business to a very big number in roughly 7 years from incubating it from zero.
Yeah, and in year seven, their target is $1 billion, which would make them one of the fastest-growing companies ever.
Yeah, and again, industry executives, been in the industry for three decades like myself, and just a terrific person as well. Yeah. And has run good companies consistently.
Well, I'll tell you what, I love watching and writing about them and speaking about them. Boy, it's just it's an education.
Yep.
Cool. My guest today is 28-year government market veteran Scott Friedlander. When we come back, we're going to talk about the end of FY 2011, maybe some prognostication on FY 2012, and I think we may touch a little bit on some of the top 100. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Obesity, inactivity, and arthritis. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss. With HHS HealthBeat, not getting enough physical activity is a problem for many of us, and a study finds, especially for obese people with arthritis. Researchers at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention saw the effect of arthritis in data from national health surveys in 2007 and 2009. The CDC's Camille Barbour.
Adults with obesity and arthritis were 44% more likely to be physically inactive compared to adults with only obesity.
The study also found that almost 36% of obese adults had arthritis. But people who have arthritis and who do physical activity right can help to control their weight and manage their arthritis. The study is in CDC's Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Here's Chuck Hume, the Deputy Chief Officer for Health Systems at the Department of Veterans Affairs, on the Federal Executive Forum on Healthcare IT, sponsored by McAfee.
And over time, we will know through our electronic data, evidence-based care that we know works because we have the whole history of populations of records and what they presented with and how they were treated and what worked and what didn't work, and we will be delivering much better health care in the future.
To listen to the whole program made possible by Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
The rapid rise in cybersecurity threats and compliance requirements make protecting citizens' confidential information increasingly challenging. McAfee is the standard throughout federal, military, intelligence, and civilian enterprises worldwide. McAfee's capabilities are essential to assuring federal networks remain resilient against the latest cyber threats. To learn more about how McAfee can help your organization combat cybersecurity threats, call 888-VIRUS-KNOW or go to McAfee.com/government.
Vacation time is just around the corner. Ready to go? Since 1967, Ackerman Security has been keeping families like yours safe and secure. For just $18.95 a month, you can trust in the protection of Ackerman's nationally certified monitoring center. Ackerman offers the latest technology like cell phone control, wireless monitoring, and remote video to your web-enabled phone, iPad, or laptop. Federal government employees get an added bonus. 4 months of monitoring free. Call 888-999-1070 or AckermanSecurity.com.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org. Or call 866-7-TROOPS.
How can government executives drive performance in a cutback climate? What are the latest best practices for tackling today's human capital challenges? Join OPM Director John Berry and hundreds of federal managers to learn how to achieve more with less at Excellence in Government, July 11th. Register today for early bird rates. www.excelgov.com. www.excelgov.com.
Welcome back to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Mark Amtower. My guest today is government market veteran Scott Friedlander. Scott's been in this market for three decades now. And Scott, again, this has been a wild and crazy year as far as the budget goes. End of FY is creeping up on us now. So What can and should manufacturers, resellers, integrators be doing to maximize any end of FY capability here?
I think that, you know, we don't know where continuing resolution, the budgets are what they are. I think you're going to see more of the same. So the question is, how do you provide your service, provide your technology, your expertise to the government? And it will be coming up with different ways of approaching the market. And I do believe that's going to be critical in terms of offering, what I'll call pay-by-the-drink capability. So instead of asking the government to absorb a $1 million, $5 million, $20 million, $30 million infrastructure day one, how do you provide it in terms of a minimum threshold requirement, more of a monthly structure, and then as a use? So it's really pay by use, not pay by acquiring the entire infrastructure day one. And that's a big change in model for a lot of the OEMs and ISVs. But I do think that's real, and I think that's driven on the things we've discussed earlier by cloud initiatives, by mobility initiatives, and by the cost of the cost changes of storage and memory, obviously getting cheaper.
Okay. Now, we referenced briefly the top contractors from WashTec. We've seen a lot of migration from them, not physically, but moving towards smaller and smaller bids. I mean, they're bidding on a lot of activity that previously they might have overlooked. How are smaller companies going to compete in this budget environment?
Well, with set aside for 8A and small disadvantage and woman-owned, veteran-owned, obviously there's that opportunity for that group. And then for the SIs, you're right. I think the top 20 SIs will continue to focus on ways they have to move into environments maybe at the revenue thresholds they haven't traditionally gone after, but as the overall pot is tighter, well, you have to do what you have to do to grow your business, right? And I believe most, if not all, of these companies care about smart growth on one side and smart profitability on the other. So they're going to have to find ways, if you will, to come down in areas maybe they haven't traditionally done.
Okay.
For instance, you know, maybe the traditional approach has been the $100 million or $200 million or $1 billion or multi-billion dollar, multi-year program. Well, maybe that threshold is going to move to a smaller threshold for them to go after that.
Okay. How important is a breadth of contract offering? I know that with the companies that you've worked with, the breadth of contract offerings has been extremely important.
I still think it's extremely important to have multiple GWACs, BPAs, IDIQs in certain areas where you have the niche and obviously it's preference to the way the customer buys. Certain agencies care about a vehicle because they developed the vehicle or they are in process of letting a vehicle go out, and that's how they're going to procure most of their services, their architecture, their hardware, et cetera. So I think aligning yourself, again, it goes back to what's your strategy, what's your focus, what's your agency, you know, what are the agencies you're going to, are your core competency, and making sure that you align to a contract that they're going to use for the future.
Okay. Now, that's a great segue to the next question. FY 2012, the budgets are, you know, the 300s are probably in, the 53s are probably in. What's the budget going to look like, and are we going to have one, and how does industry respond to another continuing resolution or perpetual continuing resolution?
Well, you know, it's been going on now for quite a while, hasn't it?
Gosh.
And I don't mean this year. I mean, we've seen it now for this cycle has been pretty consistent. From what I can tell from input from FSI, from Deltek, obviously, with the owner of the two now, and other information, it seems like, you know, the IT spend, it may be shifting in certain agencies, but overall, it's a big number. And regardless if the right number is $78 billion growing at 4%, you know, per year or whatever, it's still a very significant number. But I do think it's going to adjust in terms of the things we talked about. More dollars spent on mobility offerings and data to mobility, making things more streamlined, more dollars spent on citizen-type initiatives, things like that. So that's where it's going to shift consolidation of data centers, but yet more to cloud, right?
Okay. So how do you, reading the tea leaves, if you're, say, a mid-tier integrator and you're focused primarily, let's say, civilian, and you do have some cloud type activity, what's your big push here?
Oh, I think really having an expertise in being able to define what that cloud is in terms of the infrastructure of it, the applications you're delivering against it, the unique capabilities within that specific cloud offering. You know, I know we use the word cloud, but the fact is it's different things. It provides different efficiencies, different cost savings, different life cycles within each agency and what they need to accomplish. So the techniques and the technologies are going to be unique to the requirement.
Okay. We're getting ready to wrap up here. So what are your final thoughts, advice, et cetera, for anybody out there listening to our show?
I think one thing they've heard from the two of us today and they've seen in this market is this market is continuing to change. It will change. We've been in it for decades. And, you know, we all remember when. And when the PCs first came to the market and, you know, there were green screens and mainframes and now
5 minute boot up times.
You got it. And now mobility efforts and cyber and cloud and words that weren't in our vocabulary just 5 years ago. And there'll be new words and new expertise and new capabilities. And I think the key to companies will be clear vision, clear direction, and building new capabilities and expertise to the government market. If they do that and have a clear defined plan and are able to execute with good solid past performance and create raving fans with customers, I think they will continue to do well. And the ones that don't do that will fall short.
Excellent. Scott, greatly appreciate you being on the show today. Greatly appreciate, by the way, if I forgot to tell you back a couple months ago, speaking at our Government Market Master event at Mason, you will be invited back to both.
Well, I appreciate you thinking I'm doing an okay job, so thank you.
Well, you know, you got the depth, bud. And you're willing to share it, so that's huge. And I understand you're going to be with Francis sometime soon, is that correct?
I am. He's asked me to join him, and I look forward to that as well.
You'll love it, because that countdown's a great show. Again, thank you for being on the show. You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest today has been government market veteran Scott Friedlander. This is not my day job. If you need to fine-tune your end-of-FY marketing, give me a call. You can find me at federaldirect.net. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center with AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.